Welcome into In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Callan Elsliger. Warming up in the bullpen, as he always is Pitcherless' own bullpen expert, Rick Graham. Rick, we made it. Opening week is in the books. How did you enjoy the first week of baseball?
It's been, I mean, I'm just glad it's back and we get, you know, real results here. And it's been a pretty crazy week since we last did our last show. So yeah, there's a lot to kind of go over here.
Yeah, and the week was even better by the fact that my New York Yankees took 2 out of 3 from your Red Sox. I just have to throw that jab, and we could spend this entire show talking about these two teams. I really won't have any issue with that if you want to.
Yeah, I think we're gonna wait on that one. Just you know, it's a work in progress, but the pitching will come around. I believe in it.
Yeah, that was a very entertaining series. A lot of really, really fun baseball. I watched a lot of baseball this weekend. I did some school stuff and, you know, hung out with some people, but it was a lot of sitting back and watching some baseball, and I really don't regret a single second of it.
Same. It felt good to just, like, you know, sit around on a Saturday and just binge watch some games.
Mm-hmm. And we were very active in the Pitcherless Discord, breaking down some of the reliever trends as it happened. So if you are interested in getting that real-time reaction to all the games, not just reliever talks, head over to pitcherless.com. Join PL Plus. It's a great community of people to talk baseball. It's very active. We'll hop in, chat some games live in person. We'll chat in the just in general channels. It's a great community. You want to have instant access to what people are thinking? There's plenty of that throughout. But we're going to jump right in. As we talked about, we can talk about Yankees, Red Sox, all this thing, but you guys don't really want to talk about that. We want to talk about what happened with the bullpens throughout the league. And boy, was there a lot to break down. And it started off, before we even get into it, I think we should start off with a trade that happened right before opening day. Taylor Rogers was traded to the San Diego Padres from the Minnesota Twins in exchange for Emilio Pagan and several players who are not relevant for this podcast on relievers. So we saw the trend with the Padres early on. Taylor Rogers is the clear closer in San Diego, but we should flesh out who the next guy up if something was to happen with Rogers. Who do you believe Melvin would turn to next, just based off early season results in the first week?
Yeah, I guess the answer would have been Robert Suarez, and, you know, this trade puts a, you know, dampens all his value, and he struggled early on. It looks like Pierce Johnson might be, I think he worked eighth inning last night. I think he might be the next in line, but, you know, we still have Luis Garcia is going to come back. It's eventually, I think, sometime this month, potentially. So, and then Pomeranz in June, July. So there's other options here. But yeah, I'm happy to see Rogers, like, stick in the role. He deserves it. He's a really good reliever. He should be closing out games for someone.
Yeah, he's very good. We saw that early on. He stepped right in and looked like his normal self after Robert Suarez was an absolute disaster on opening night against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Sadly to us two who took him in our podcast league draft, but luckily that didn't start until the first day of the week on Monday, so we didn't get those stats. We're good. Yeah. We're set. but yeah, we know that. I would agree, Pierce Johnson. Robert Suarez was brought in pretty early in his sixth inning, just trying to get him some work. So I think Melvin's going to try and ease him back up to that setup role. Eventually, I think he finds his way back there. So yeah. I wouldn't completely panic on him yet, but, you know, we know Rod's job is Taylor Rogers. The bigger question, though, is who takes over Minnesota? There's plenty of options. We've seen some 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, some electric stuff from several guys, but it hasn't been, I don't think it's really been clear. Who are you buying in that Twins bullpen as of now?
Well, I was, so right after the trade, my first thought was it was going to go to a veteran, probably, possibly Pagan, who just came over, maybe Tyler Duffy. Duffy got the first chance, absolutely, you know, coughed it up. So then I was thinking maybe Pagan will get the next one, but after last night, you know, looking at watching Duran close out, it was a 4-run lead, so it wasn't a save, but, you know, it's still telling when they bring in, you know, someone to finish a game up 4 runs. I still feel like that's typically, you know, closers get that that spot usually. So the fact that Duran came in the ninth up four, I think is telling me that he might get the next save chance there, especially with, you know, Duffy's struggled already. Alcala just went to the IL. So it's really Duran versus Pagan.
Yeah, and I think Duran would be who I would lean towards just based on what you've said. We know the Twins are going to be good, and they played in some close games. Byron Buxton's been great, but go get these guys, make sure they're rostered, because Twins are going to have plenty of save opportunities, and yes, there's a lot of excitement. Normally, this will transition. Normally, what we'll do at the start of these episodes is go through our biggest winner of the week and biggest loser in terms of value rising and falling in Rick's closer rankings, which you can find on pitcherlist.com and on his Twitter. And also we'll have more reliever articles all throughout the week there. But what we want to go into now is, but we wanted to start with that Taylor Rogers trade because it was such a bombshell that we weren't able to get into until this week. So that probably would be the biggest winner just because it's a whole new closer. But based on the results of week one, Rick, who is your biggest riser in your closer ranks, biggest winner, however you want to term it? Who do you want to start off the show with?
Sure, yeah. Nothing really changed up in the top half, but you know, down the bottom of the list, we started to see a little more clarity with you know, figuring out who was winning jobs where. And I think right now, I'd say Anthony Bender, you know, getting the job in Miami, I think there's a real chance he holds on to it when Flora returns. So I feel like he's kind of a guy that I want to, you know, if he's still available in your league, you got to think about scooping up now before, you know, he adds a couple saves and, you know, it's too late.
Yeah, and for me, my biggest winner this week was David Robertson with the Chicago Cubs. I think they made it pretty. That was one of these closers we broke down last week in terms of, you know, who's going to. We could dive a little bit deeper into the trends and things, but just in general, we kind of saw that he is the go-to guy for saves. He got the save on opening day. He was brought in the ninth inning of a one-run game, down by one to keep the score to save. He got the save on Tuesday as we're recording this show. So this is the guy. He was the big fab spender in 15-team leagues trying to get him as your reliever. I don't think anyone's coming from that job from him right now. I think he's got it pretty secure. Obviously, there's other guys who can take it away from him, but I think he's pretty safe as of right now. And I think that's this week helped take care of one very confusing closer situation out in Chicago.
Yeah, he got another save today. Yeah, it's a really... You know, it's nice to see that they're pretty much going Givens in the eight, you know, Givens to Robertson, and that looks like, you know, there's no timeshare there. It's Robertson's role to lose.
Yeah, and we don't want to put a damper on things, but when it comes to people who rise in rankings, there's unfortunately going to be a faller. So, Rick, who's the biggest faller in your rankings this week or loses out a job, something like that?
I have two that I want to, Matt Barnes, I don't know what's going on there. He did pitch yesterday. He didn't allow any runs, but it wasn't the Matt Barnes that, you know, we're used to, you know, first half of last year. He still looks like a shell of himself. I just don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, take the closer role back anytime soon. And then, I don't know, whatever's going on in San Francisco, which we might have to talk about in a different segment, but I don't know what's going on in San Francisco right now. So everyone there is kind of my loser for right now.
Yeah, that's probably where I would have gone if my loser would probably have been Jake McGee, because it's so confusing. But we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. But yeah, that can... While Chicago cleared up their confusing situation, San Francisco, if it was even possible, made it even more confusing for us. So that's a huge loss off throughout the board for San Francisco relievers in general. Saves, leaves, and saves plus holds, you're set. You know they're going to be in there. But for just saves, we don't know who the go-to guy is, and that makes it very, very annoying.
For sure.
So that leads us into the next segment where we're going to go through some of the usage of these teams' bullpen, kind of go through teams. We're not going to go in depth as to the obvious teams. We know, everyone who is obvious, has gotten the saves. But if there's something that we do miss, feel free to reach out to us. You know, if something does change, obviously we'll bring it up. But we want to go through some of the things that really caught our eye this week. So there's about 7 or 8 teams in each league that some interesting storylines from their pen and kind of dive into what that means. So we'll start off in the American League, and we'll start just like we did with our early season previews with the Baltimore Orioles. We saw on Monday night them finally get their first save opportunity, and it went to Jorge Lopez. It's one save opportunity, but does this clear things up? Do you want to see more? How are you attacking Baltimore now that we know that Lopez seems to be the guy?
Yeah, I think there could be some real value here. And I mean, it's Baltimore, so, you know, you're not going to get 25, 30 saves probably. But, you know, last year there was a bit of a mix in the position. There was, you know, Solser, there was Tyler Wells, Valdez early on. So if, you know, I think Lopez, he looked good. He looks good coming out of the pen. You know, he gets the fastball up to 99, 100. You know, he is, you know, your prototypical closer. I think if he can stick in the role for the whole year and there isn't really much competition, I could see there being sneaky value here. And, you know, I don't know if he's like a must add in 12 teamers, but, you know, 14 team, you know, deeper leagues, you know, saves plus hold, he's definitely someone to look at right now.
I turned that game on against Milwaukee to see him in the save opportunity, to see what it has. And when he touched 99, I had that sudden thought in the back of my head, like, since when can Jorge Lopez hit 99 miles an hour? That was a big shocker to me. But like you said, he looked good, and I was able to snag him Sunday night in my TGFBI or one of my NFBC leagues. Might not have been TGFBI, but I was able to get him as a save speculation, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. So I would agree. I don't think anyone, Dylan Tate didn't really impress too much. I think Lopez has this job as secure as your job can be in Baltimore. But I would agree, if you are in a deeper league and he's still sitting out there, he's someone you should be jumping pretty soon to go grab, because he won't be out there much longer. Though it's Baltimore and there may not be too many save opportunities, but it seems like they have their guy pretty set.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy for now.
The next guy we want to talk about is Jake Diekman with the Boston Red Sox. You know, we saw on Sunday night on primetime, he looked incredible. He struck out Judge, Stanton, and Gallo back-to-back-to-back. Got picked up the save in the Red Sox lone win of that entire weekend series. But like you said, Matt Barnes didn't impress you too much. So what's going on with Boston? How do you, I guess, first talk about Jake Diekman, and then just in general, what's your opinions now on this Boston bullpen?
I'm still trying to. I added Diekman to my list this week as the closer for Boston, but it's very tentative. I don't know. You know, it could be, I guess it's probably going to be Diekman getting the next save opportunity, just because it's not going to be Brazier. It's not going to be some of those other guys. So I think for now he has the job. What that means, I know Alex Cora has said that he wants Barnes to work himself back into the role, which I think any Red Sox fan, you know, myself included, wants to see him work himself back into the role. But right now he's not at that level where he needs to be. So I guess it's wait and see on Barnes. And, you know, for Diekman's value, I think I'd rather take a chance on Jorge Lopez, honestly, which doesn't sound appealing, taking the, you know, Baltimore closer over the Red Sox closer. But I think there's something that's going to have to give here, where the Red Sox are going to, I don't think Diekman's the long-term answer for this season, you know. So whether it's Barnes gets back in there or they make some sort of other move, I tentative on Diekman, you know, being a real answer there.
What do you do with Garrett Whitlock? If you used him on Tuesday out of the bullpen, I believe you threw four innings, got the win, but he was in for the final inning, kind of sort of piggybacking off Rich Hill. But then as the game, they had the lead, they just stuck with him instead of going to some other relievers. Is that a name that's going to be in that back end mix, or is he kind of more of the fireman type to get the hold rather than the save?
It, see. It looks kind of like he's gonna be doing what he did today for the foreseeable future. You know, coming in after guys like Rich Hill or, you know, Michael Walker go four innings and give them, you know, finish off the game, and it's still very valuable. Like, you know, he's gonna get a ton of wins possibly. You know, I don't think he's going to get saves or holds potentially like he did last year, but right now he's the most valuable non-starter, you know, in that pitching staff.
Yeah, I would agree. In your holds leagues, he's definitely worth it. He's going to be right in the middle of it. I do see him in that mix kind of eating into some of Diekman's value because he's so valuable in that back end. They could just go an inning or two innings from him, eighth and ninth, and get the save. Especially if the meat of the order is coming up for an opposing team. But then again, Diekman did just dominate the Yankees' meat of their order on Sunday. So maybe it's not as big of a deal as I'm expecting. But I'm still not panicking. If you speculate on Whitlock for saves, I may still stash him out of hope because Jake Diekman's not the epitome of consistency in that back end. So I could see Whitlock eating into some saves and still carving himself a very important role in that pen.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I don't know what Whitlock's role is going to be, but I feel like he just needs to be rostered and, you know, standard 12 teamers at this point. Whatever it is, he's going to get wins, possibly saves, ratios help, you know, K help. So yeah, Whitlock's the guy to own here.
And sticking with the AL East, we talked about this team as, hey, maybe for once they're actually going to be consistent with their pen and that we have a closer, we can maybe feel confident about this. How stupid were we for thinking that with the Tampa Bay Rays? Andrew Kittredge has been used for a save, but then he was brought in for the eighth and JT Chargois was into it. Fire Eisen's been used. Rick, to help me make sense of this Rays bullpen that we're stupid to even think was actually going to have a solid, consistent closer.
Yeah, I think it's just the Rays are raying early on, and it's what we've come to expect, even though, yeah, I thought, like, you know, no Fairbanks, no Anderson, maybe Kittredge would be used, like, in a more specific, you know, late-inning role, but, you know, Brooks Raley's the one getting the first save, and it's, like, who knows from here on out, so I still like Kittredge. He came in to the eighth inning of that game to face, you know, the top of the order, the middle of the order. So, like, he's going to be, if the ninth inning, you know, if the two, three, four hitters are coming up, Kittredge would probably get the ninth. So, there's still value there. He's still the person to roster, but it's still going to be a headache and it's going to be frustrating at times, but you just have to know that, you know, going in.
Is the headache at least a little bit clearer now that Chargois was added to the injured list earlier today? Or,
yeah,
not really.
Again,
it's still Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's like I thought with Fairbanks. Okay, it gets a little clearer now. Chargois, but who knows? They you know, brought up Ryan Thompson, who was like pretty really. Ryan Thompson was really good for them last year, and he was starting the year in AAA. So, like, it wouldn't shock me at all if he gets into the eighth and ninth inning mix right off the bat. And they just seem to be able to churn out relievers, like high leverage relievers, and it's all the same result typically.
We talk about this next team right at the top of the show with Taylor Rogers trade, and we briefly discussed it, but I want to dive in just a little bit more deeper as their next team on this list. You talked about how it's between Duffy and Duran kind of in that mix. Let's dive a little deeper. What did you see this past week with how the Twins used their pen, and who seems to be emerging more in that pen?
The trend's definitely leaning towards Duran, and, you know, even Alcala just went to the IL, but before that he was working the sixth, seventh inning. Duffy had the one save chance, and then I think he came back and he worked earlier in the last game he pitched in. Pagan hasn't really, he's worked, I think, the eighth inning, so I think Duran pitching the ninth last night, and just eyeball test, you know, he is the guy with the closer stuff there. He, you know, big fastball, you know, good breaker. He you know, everything's telling you he should be the guy, but it's still, you know, it's teams don't always use their best reliever in the closer role, especially nowadays. So I had hesitations, but it looks like, you know, if they're going to trust Duran in the ninth inning, then, you know, he is, you know, top 10, top 12, at least, you know, rest of the season potential.
Yeah, I actually wrote the nastiest pitches from Monday night, and it took so much out of me to not put Duran in that column. Just looking at that pitch he threw, I can't remember the batter off the top of my head now, but I wanted to get him in so bad. There's so much nastiness going on Monday night that I couldn't get him into the article, but his stuff is electric. He has that closer stuff. He has the pedigree, too, as a former top 10 prospect in Minnesota's system, according to Fangraphs. So All that signs up to him. It's just one of those pens you really want to keep an eye on because, you know, as we sit here recording this, they are in a tied game against the Dodgers. So maybe we, by the time we finish recording this show, it's still a sixth inning, so it may not get to that. But if we do get an update as we're recording this, maybe we'll get a little bit more clarity, but it's just one you continue to track. And that should lead me to say, we are recording this show on Tuesday night about 9 o'clock Eastern. So there may be some developments we don't get to. Unfortunately, we can't record the show at past midnight Eastern. We both have stuff Wednesday mornings and we're unable to record. So record that late, but you know, if some huge development comes out, we'll break it down live on the podcast. But you know, you may hear us reacting live to a person coming in to get a save at some point.
Yeah, I would love to see Duran coming into the ninth tonight again, but I think he's still like, if you're in a 12 teamer that like saves are hard to come by, now's the time to take a shot. And you know, if you have like a bench outfielder that's, you know, off to a slow start, maybe you make the switch there. You don't want to miss out on Duran, I think.
Yeah, he's very high on Duran. You said top 10 upside, you think, if he was to get the job?
In that bullpen with his stuff, it kind of reminds me of like Edwin Diaz when he came up and like, you know, he was starter turned reliever and just, you know, two really plus pitches that he's still allowing him to be a top, you know, five closer in the game. So I feel like Duran's kind of in that same mold.
Yeah, you hear it. Go get Duran if he's out there. Don't let him sit out on your wire much longer. And speaking of top 10 upside, the next guy in this list, we were confident with having the job, but the early results weren't too exciting. Ryan Presley and his save opportunity was down, I believe, 2 miles an hour on some of his pitches, which is a big difference. Are you concerned at all? I know you said you haven't dropped anyone. There hasn't been any drastic changes in your ranks, but have you lowered Presley at all due to this concern, or where does your level of concern for him at right now?
Right now, I'm monitoring it. It's not, I haven't, you know, I put out the closing time today and kind of just talked about how it's, you know, obviously it's still too early to make drastic changes, especially in the top, you know, where, you know, Presley's been a consistent closer now for more than, you know, for 2+ years. So the velo concerns are concerning. It doesn't seem like the team's too concerned, which makes me feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, like right now he's down 3.1 miles per hour at his fastball from last year. So that's like that number jumps out a little bit. And he did get a little, had a slow start to spring training, but it's definitely something I think we need to, you know, put out there and just, you know, monitor it and see if it starts ticking up. Because, you know, we've seen like guys like Kenley Jansen in the past has been a slow starter and the velo ticks up, you know, as the year goes on. There's a lot of guys like that. So just something to monitor. And, you know, right now his job is safe, but if he starts having some bad outings, that velo doesn't come back up, then, you know, we might be talking about, you know, Hector Neris as the new closer of the Astros.
If you're in a 15-team league or 16-team, one of those deeper leagues we talked about, do you speculate on Neris now? Do you grab him now and just hope it, or do you wait a little bit longer and not waste a roster spot on something that can ultimately not turn into anything?
That's a good question. I think it depends on really what's out there, what your roster looks like. I think it might be a little too soon to, there's probably other options that are more interesting. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. If, like, next week, 2 weeks from now, he's still, you know, 3 miles per hour lower on his fastball, then, yeah, I might look to add Neris in a deep, you know, 15, 16 teamer.
So the next, we'll transition over to the Seattle Mariners. We know that it's going to be a confusing situation, and it didn't change at all. Everyone got a save over the past week or so, except the one guy we were most excited about with Paul Sewald. So, Rick, with Seattle, it continues to be this confusion. Has anybody emerged to you as the top guy in that pen, or is it just, are you putting people ahead of Sewald in terms of your favorite in that pen, or what are you thinking about this pen?
Yeah, it's, you know, I was just thinking, like, the other day that it's going to be like a 33% split between these three, and then I forgot, well, Ken Giles is going to come back in the next couple weeks, mm-hmm. so that just adds another layer. And, you know, what if, you know, Andre Munoz, like, if he starts, you know, having, if he gets on a hot streak, then they start trusting him more late innings. It's really, I don't think anything's changed. It's a little frustrating that Sewald hasn't gotten a save chance. He did, like Kittredge, he did work the eighth inning against the meat of the order, so to speak, when Steckenrider got his save. So I think that, you know, that's, Sewald's kind of in that Kittredge range where he's going to get the best hitters at the end of the game. Whatever inning that is, you know, it's going to go to him. So eventually it will be the ninth, you know, occasionally it will be the ninth. So I still like Sewald the most here, followed by, I think Castillo just has, you know, his huge upside with his strikeout percentage. He got a save this weekend as well. And Steckenrider, I guess in deeper leagues, sure, but I'm just not, I think he, what, he worked the seventh inning today, eighth inning?
Yeah, let me check for you.
So it's, they're all over the place, but, you know, I still think, I don't think anything's changed. It's just, unfortunately, it's going to be this committee that we had heard it was going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be confusing. I think I would probably rank it the same way. Yeah, I'm looking at this now. Steckenrider worked the seventh in today's loss to the White Sox in a, it was a, gotta do math here, they were down by one run, and then Diego Castillo came on and pitched the eighth. I can't see who the batters they had to face were, but, you know, it's something to continue to monitoring. This committee's has not gotten any clearer in the past week. And the final team that is worth mentioning in the American League is the Texas Rangers and Joe Barlow. Barlow got the first save chance, blew it. Where does that leave him? There's other options. We talked about Greg Holland in that pen as someone that's going to probably eat into it, but he hasn't exactly looked so great. So where do you sit with Joe Barlow? Is he still the go-to guy for Texas, or is somebody else going to be emerging soon?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, they haven't gotten much from Holland or Matt Bush or Josh Spores. I think Barlow's still, after all, you know, that was all the talk of, you know, Barlow not being the closer, it looks like he's still by default the best option there, at least until, you know, midseason when we get Jonathan Hernandez and Jose Leclerc back. But for the next 2 months, I feel pretty confident that Barlow's going to get the save chances there. But it's just, you know, I think I'd rather take a chance on a Duran or, you know, Bender over him at this point.
Yeah, he hasn't looked great. As we're recording this, Greg Holland actually just got brought in the fifth inning down by one run against Colorado. So it seems like he's worked himself out of any sort of interest in that late inning role for this team. But so it does seem Barlow's a guy. I would agree that there's other names that are worth monitoring when they come back from the injured list. But right now I feel more confident than I was at the beginning of the year that he'll get the job, which is weird to say because he's not been so good, but I feel pretty confident that he's going to continue to get the opportunities. Will he execute on them? That is another story. But we're going to take a quick break before we head over to the National League and break down some of the trends that have taken place in the National League bullpens. And we're back here on the In the Pen podcast. We're going to move over to the National League bullpens. This one's not on our list, but I want to at least get this out of the way. You mentioned Kenley Jansen's velocity concerns. Otherwise, he had a rough debut for the Atlanta Braves, but he said there hasn't been much change in ranks. Do you have any concern with Kenley Jansen right now after his rough start to the season?
Not yet. I think like Jansen tends to be a slow starter. Will Smith did come and get a save and look pretty good, but I still think that, you know, they just shelled out a lot of money for him. They're going to give him multiple opportunities to, you know, hang on to that closer role. So I'm not concerned with Jansen yet.
Yeah, I think it just cemented that Will Smith is the next guy up. Will Smith is definitely a must own in saves plus holds league as the next guy who's going to be directly getting the ball to the Kenley. He's looked very good so far, as he always does, and is someone you need to have on your roster. But I would agree, I don't have any concern about Kenley going forward. If it continues within the next, if by next week we're still talking about Kenley's struggles, maybe you start having a deeper conversation about that. But I would agree right now, it's not really anything being concerned about. The next guy on the list is your winner, biggest winner from the beginning of the show, and it's Anthony Bender with the Miami Marlins. He seems to have cemented his role. He was your biggest win, but let's dive a little deeper. What's impressed you the most with Bender in Miami? And, you know, has he clearly broken away from these other guys in that pen?
I think when you talk about, you know, the prototype, I guess it's, and, you know, things are changing in the league, but like the prototypical closers, you know, the fastball breaking ball guy, whether it's a slider, curveball, you know, it doesn't matter. But I think Bender is like that prototype with the, you know, good fastball with a very good, like his slider is, you know, elite-ish, like, for the most part. You know, he had some struggles with it last year at the end of the year, but there's, you know, really, I think the ceiling for him is much higher than anyone else in this bullpen. I know they've added, you know, Cole Sulcer is pitching right now in the eighth inning, the tie game. And I like Sulcer a lot, but I don't think, and that Floro is solid too. He's not bad. He's not, you know, electric, but he gets outs. He, you know, does his job. I still think, I love the decision that they made to go with Bender in the role because, you know, like a lot of times you see that the team's not going with their best, most talented reliever in the closer role, but from fantasy, you know, purposes, it's great when you have the best reliever in the role, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, rostering anyone else in that team.
Who would be, you know, you mentioned Cole Sulcer and some of the names, you mentioned Floro. If they decided to move away from Bender, who's kind of emerged as the guy you'd want next if something were to happen to Bender, if he starts struggling, who should managers put on their watch list or keep an eye on that pen?
I worry a little bit with Floro coming back that he might, you know, Mattingly trusted him last year, and he was pretty good. He didn't do anything to lose the job, really, but he, you know, nothing spectacular that like stuck out with like, oh, he needs to be the closer. But that's the guy who really worries me the most there. Yeah, I think the way that they're using the rest of their bullpen, it's really, you know, what happens when Floro comes back.
Yeah, and we talked about some of the injuries. That moves us over to the next team on the list, and it's the Philadelphia Phillies. We thought it was a consistent pen, and it is. Corey Knebel seems to be the guy, but he was just placed on the COVID IL, and so we're recording this on Tuesday. It just seems like it could be a short-term stint, but if you're in a daily leagues and want to speculate on some saves, who would be the guy to get these next couple saves for Philadelphia while Knebel is working his way back?
Yeah, Brad Hand looked pretty good against the Mets. I wonder if that was, you know, him being a little bit more locked in against, you know, his former team that he kind of struggled with last year. But Brad Hand looked pretty good. And I was about ready to write off Brad Hand after the middle of last year. So it was good to see him, you know, bat, his breaking ball, his fastball is, you know, sitting 93, which is pretty good to see. Breaking ball looks good again. I feel like, you know, the closer experience is there. I wonder if Knebel does miss a little bit more time, Hand gets another save or two, if we start worrying about some sort of committee here.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope not. I mean, I think Knebel, it's like you said, it sounded like a short-term stint on the IL, but you never know for sure. So take a daily move speculation on Brad Hand. He, like I said, he did look good. He would be the first guy up in my mind with that pen. There's always the guys that they like, but the trends seem to be going his way. But hopefully it is just a short-term thing, and we can get another bullpen that way we know for sure who's going to be getting the saves, which is the complete opposite of the next team that we're going to talk about with the Washington Nationals. Tanner Rainey got the save in their save so far for them, but you still seem to have some concerns with him. I know we liked him and on our early shows, but you know, where do you stand on Rainey now that he's getting saves in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love the usage and the fact that they're trusting him in the ninth, but there's still some concerns here with the, you know, he had a really rough spring with command issues, and then his velo's still down from where it was, you know, 2 years ago. And I want to believe that Tanner Rainey is gonna A, be the closer, and B, you know, be that reliever he was, you know, just a few years ago, that striking had one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball. I just don't see that. I don't know if that's going to happen. So we might get some sort of a, you know, like half Rainey. It's just going to be like he's not going to be the Rainey we thought he was. But if he's still closing out games, then I guess it's worth, you know, an ad, especially in leagues where, you know, it's desperate to find saves. Like, there's still, you know, he's worth adding. And if he does, you know, get that velo back up, if he starts getting more swings and misses on his curveball, then hey, you get an elite closer potentially.
Let's hope so. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. And Kyle Finnegan hasn't shown anything that would be a threat to him for sure. I mean, he was the guy in the beginning of the season that even last week when we were breaking down these pens even more, we seemed to be buying more into Finnegan as the guy. But I'm happy we're wrong about that call, because I think, yes, like you said, Rainey has much more intrigue for fantasy purposes, but hopefully he can get his velocity. Hopefully it's a similar situation to Presley where it's just the early season velo dip, but it's worth monitoring. And you know, if we can have one more for sure closer in fantasy, I don't think anybody's going to be complaining, which we seem to have with the next guy on this list, is David Robertson, which is my biggest winner from the Chicago Cubs. He's been getting the save opportunities. He's gotten two saves so far for the Cubs, pitching the ninth inning of a close game in one of their losses. He seems to be the go-to guy, which is great. We have a solution to that. Are you going crazy trying to get David Robertson? How much trust do you have on that? And if you want to speculate on the next man up, if you aren't buying into Robertson, who would that be for Chicago?
Yeah, I think that he's definitely it's early, but still, you know, the first two save chances, I think, is pretty telling. So it's like a fault of mine that I have a little bit of a, like, you know, age bias where, like, yeah, I'm mm-hmm. more interested in chasing, you know, Bender or, you know, Art Warren or Tanner Rainey. But, like, yeah, Robertson, I'm probably sleeping on Robertson a bit. He's, you know, he came back last year kind of out of nowhere, you know, pitched for Team USA, and then the Rays picked him up, and he had a pretty good year with them. The Cubs signed him, and then all of a sudden he's closing out games. I think he's age 37 now, and he looks good. He looks like the David Robertson of, I mean, you're a Yankees fan, you know how good he used mm-hmm. to be. So
yeah,
it's kind of fun to watch him, like, still being able to shut down teams in the ninth inning. And I think people need to, you know, make sure not to sleep on him, especially when you're in those deeper, you know, saves, those leagues where saves are really hard to come by.
He still looks like the same David Robertson. It doesn't look like he's aged at all. He still has the high socks. He's still pulling the Houdini acts that he always used to pull with the Yankees. It's crazy. I don't think he's aged at all. It's a safe guy for Clay saves. Michael Givens seems to be the guy who you mentioned early in the show. They seem to have a clear pen. It's going Michael Givens in the eighth, David Robertson in the ninth. So it's nice to know, and it seems like we have an answer for if Robertson falters. Givens seems to be the next guy up, so I might even, in a 15-team league, throw Givens on the back of my bench. And because, you know, like you said, I have a little bit of that age bias too, where, you know, I want to believe in David Robertson. I added him in some leagues, but, you know, you don't know for sure if it's going to stick. It's Chicago. It's not a team that has that set closer, so I could see it pivoting soon. You mentioned Art Warren in terms of the younger upside guys you like, and that kind of transitions us nicely into the Cincinnati bullpen that's next on this. I have in the notes for the show, and I think it works perfectly. What, in all caps, what on earth is going on in Cincinnati?
I think outside of San Francisco, this is my second biggest headache right now, is trying to figure out what is going on here. Because, you know, Tony Santillan got the first save, and there was, you know, he was warming up in the eighth when they were up four, which, you know, sure, but he did come in, he got the save, he looked good. So, you know, I thought maybe he's already talked about as being in the mix. So, you know, maybe he would get the next save. No, Art Warren does. And, you know, I love me Art Warren. I think Art Warren's the most talented reliever in this bullpen. So, okay, he gets the save. Maybe he's the guy, you know, going forward. But then he came in earlier in the game today. Hunter Strickland came in the ninth and absolutely threw up all over himself, so to say. And, you know, I think I'm just waiting for Lucas Sims to come back this weekend and hope that they just give me some clarity once he's back. You know, like, go to him in the ninth or go to Warren, whatever it is, one of those two, just please.
So you're looking for Sims. Is he the guy you most want now, or are you still buying Art Warren as your... If you've listened to the show, for the brief history of our show, you know we are all very high on Art Warren. Is he the guy you want to roster? Or who, if you had to speculate on it, who would be your guy?
This is one of those situations where, like, I want to, like, if just looking at this bullpen, it's like, this is why you need to be in saves plus holds leagues, because Warren and Sims are both really good pitchers. And, like, even, you know, Santillan's not bad either. I think he's going to have a nice little, like, TJ Anton type role going forward here. But between Warren and Sims, the fact that no one's really outright won the job in the first, you know, week and a half or week, I feel like Sims is the favorite when he comes back, and probably the one that, probably, you know, if you're not stashing him already, when he gets back this weekend, I would definitely look to add him. Because there's huge upside there with just, you know, the stuff he has and strikeout potential. And, you know, he can also go more than one inning, which for a team like Cincinnati who might not win a ton of games, the fact that he can, you know, work multiple innings can help you.
I'm getting afraid that Cincinnati's just going to be one of those teams that never names a closer and makes our... We kind of thought it, but with the first week has done nothing but assure me of this thought that they're going to be one of those bullpens that drives us nuts all season, and we try and figure it out, and we just never do. I would definitely agree that Warren and Sims are two guys that are most interesting. I'm still saying Art Warren because I want my take to be right about Art Warren, and he got the save, but him coming in the seventh on Tuesday was not a great sign for that take, but I still want to think that Sims becomes that TJ Anton sort of guy, and they ease him more back instead of moving him straight into the closer job. But, you know, maybe nobody emerges and then Sims just works his way back, and by the time we get here next week, we talk about, oh, Sims just took the job back because no one else ran with it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm seeing it going right now. It's like, again, it's a frustrating situation and a reason why you should be playing in saves holds leagues,
which seems to be the case for the next team on this list with the Colorado Rockies. We thought it was a strong situation with Alex Colome. By the time we got to it last week, we said maybe not so fast. And maybe we've got a little bit more clarity. Rick, is it more clear to you who's the go-to guy for the Rocky saves that we don't want to touch?
I think, I'm sorry, I just watched Edwin Diaz throw a changeup to Bryce Harper. I'm kind of in shock, but but yeah, I think, you know, it looks like I think they're pretty comfortable with Bard in the closer role here. And Colum A worked the eighth the last couple times. He has looked like we expect Alex Colum A to look these days, which is, you know, gets into trouble, kind of gets out of it, still allows a couple runs, and, you know, Bard's still a home run threat, and he, especially, not even just in Coors, he, you know, I feel like Daniel Bard's outings the last 2 years have been so similar to the one he just had, where it's like, he looks great, and then just, like, one bad pitch just kind of, all right, blown save, here we go, like, there hasn't really been a great Colorado closer for some time now. It's
Bard had that 1 year, it was 2 years ago, where it's like, oh, Daniel Bard. But I can't even think of a Colorado closer I've been interested in rostering in recent memory since I played fantasy baseball.
They're gonna win more games this year probably than they did last year, sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I want to really find out who's going to get the most saves here. And I think it's right now, there's most of the people we've talked about already as far as being the closer for the team, I would take over Bard, with the exceptions of maybe, you know, whatever's going on in Boston and possibly San Francisco.
Yeah, and we'll get to San Francisco in just a moment. But before we do, I want to just dive slightly deeper into San Diego. We know Taylor Rogers is the guy, and we talked about the trade at the top of the show. But, you know, did this week prove to you about how the pecking order is going to go in the back end to get the ball to Rogers? Like, if you're in a saves holds league, which Padre reliever are you grabbing to get you those holds? Or is it still kind of a couple-headed monster?
Yeah, I do like Robert Suarez. I think he has really good, you know, he's got the stuff to play up at, you know, high leverage, late inning situations. But I think for right now, Pierce Johnson's like a very underrated, under the radar reliever, and doesn't really get enough, you know, love for, he's been good for, since the Padres signed him, you know, I think it was 2020. And he's finally kind of, it looks like he's kind of getting the, you know, eighth inning. He's getting the later innings where, you know, before he was a sixth, seventh inning guy. Now they're trusting him more, as they should. And he's, for now, with the injuries and who they have available, you know, Pierce Johnson's definitely the second favorite reliever on that staff for me.
I would agree with that. I still, like I said, I want to believe in Robert Suarez. He may work his way back up there, but for now, he seems to be pretty down in the pecking order after a very, very disastrous opening day where he allowed 3 base runners and didn't record a single out, walking 2 and hitting a batter, if I'm remembering it correctly. Yeah. That was rough to watch. I was almost going to message you and be like, oh gosh, why did we make that pick? Because it was literally a day after we picked him in the podcast league draft.
Yep. Hey, it was our last round pick. Well,
it was. It was a good speculative. We'd be failing the show name if we didn't speculate on a reliever in the last round, which we also did with the San Diego Padres, Camilo Duvall, or not Padres, San Francisco Giants. But I don't know if we should be regretting that now, because that situation is also another one of those what in the world situations, like we talk about the Reds. Rick, can you try and clear this up for me?
I guess I could try. So, yeah. I mean, Gabe Kapler he did this back in Philly. He's kind of, he plays games in the back of the bullpen. He loves to not to be, you know, secretive when it comes to who's going to be closing games. And right now, we can't even get a good read because he's using Jake McGee all over the place. He's using mm-hmm. DeVall all over the place. Dominic Leon gets the save. Next day, he works the sixth inning. Tyler Rogers he's been all over the place. So the whole, you know, that whole back end of the bullpen is just it's unpredictable where they're going to be, you know, used on a game to game basis. So that makes it, to me, it's like who has at least the highest upside here, and that's probably Duvall. And I know he got the first save chance, and he, you know, let up the home run to, I forget who it was now, but yeah. It's just, it's tough to, it shouldn't be like, that shouldn't be the reason why he's not closing out games just because of one game. So I hope he gets another chance, but this could be a revolving door of, you know, whoever Gabe Kapler feels like on a certain day.
Yeah. Which situation are you more comfortable with? If you had to take a red reliever or a giant reliever, which one are you more confident in?
Right now, I'd say one of the two Reds guys. And it's, you know, the Giants are probably going to win more games and there's probably more value there. But I feel like there's a better chance that between Sims and Warren, one of those guys wins out than between, you know, McGee, Duvall, possibly Dominic Leone, maybe Tyler Rogers, you know, sneaks back into the ninth inning here and there. So if I were ranking, I would probably go Sims, Warren, Duvall, McGee in that order.
It's going to be interesting. And that leads us into how we're going to wrap up these shows. It's a little bit of what to watch for. We have so many these situations that we just kind of broke down where they stand right now. But over the next week, a lot of things are going to be changed. And of course, we're going to be keeping our eye on several certain things. We want to give you guys some things to keep an eye on to try and stay ahead of your league mates. So over this next week, before we do the next show, what are a couple situations? You don't have to give it in any sort of order, but what are a few situations you're keeping an eye on in terms of trying to stay ahead of people in your fantasy leagues?
Yeah, that's Matt Barnes. I want to see if he makes some sort of jump over the next week. Maybe, you know, doesn't even have to be velocity related. I just want to see, him look like his old self with the breaking ball being the big swing and miss pitch that it used to be, which, you know, I'm not sure it's ever going to get back to that. But again, something to watch for. I want to see, you know, what happens in Minnesota. I hope, you know, Duran and just can take this role and run with it. And then we don't have, you know, any questions to ask, because he's certainly better than Emilio Pagan, certainly better than Tyler Duffy. So I hope it's Duran time in Minnesota. And then I guess, you know, San Francisco, of course, like, is something happened there? Is there some sort of consistency? Just don't want to see someone get two saves in a row, possibly. That would be nice. And yeah, Cincinnati, what happens when Lucas Sims returns this weekend?
Yeah, and I'll throw one more out there, and it's Tampa Bay. I want to see if Andrew Kittredge is the guy, or if we're very excited about that. We thought he was going to be the guy, and we talked about it a little earlier, but I want to see if Cash makes him more of that guy, or if he's just to get the big names out and move forward, if he's the fireman type. So that's something among those. And we mentioned it, Tanner Rainey. Let's see if the velocity comes back up and if he can be, if he emerges in that Washington pen. But I think that's a lot to keep an eye on, and, you know, you'll be able to try and stay ahead of your league mates if you notice some of these trends that we've talked about. But if you continue to want to stay ahead of your league mates, you can hit us up on Twitter. I am at @Callan_Elsliger. You can find the show on Twitter at @InThePenPod. Rick, where can they find you on Twitter if they need to ask you any reliever questions?
I am Rick Graham on Twitter.
There you go. And go to pitcherlist.com. You can find Rick's closer rankings. And I believe as you're listening to this on Wednesday, he will have his rankings for saves and holds. Is that correct?
Yes. Wednesday is holds. Thursday is holds. Friday is saves and holds. So look out for the saves plus holds on this Friday.
Perfect. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, if you want to have instant access to us and want to discuss things further, see us instantly breaking down the trends in bullpens, come on the Petrol PL Plus, join the Discord, hop in the conversation. But Rick, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, you pretty, I mean, yeah, I would want to echo the join PEL Plus because there has been the relief pitcher, you know, channel has been very active lately. It's nice to see, you know, a lot of the talk around, you know, who's closing where, what type of usage people are getting. So yeah, I definitely, anyone who's like on the fence and needs help, you know, with their bullpen, you know, come join the Discord.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up. So thank you for listening to this episode of In the Pen. I am Callan. He's Rick. Keep picking up those saves and holds, and we will see you next week on another episode of In the Pen.